The passage of scripture we're going to be looking into this morning is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. As you are turning to that passage, let me point out to you that I'm going to focus on the word remember in that portion of scripture. You may have noticed during the past couple of weeks that I've been with you that I have a special interest not only in words the biblical writers use, but how they used them in the letters that they sent to the churches or individuals. If you were to ask me why this is, I probably would say to you it's probably because I spent about 30 years of my working life in industry as a human resources director. In that capacity, I spent most of my time working with unions, negotiating labor contracts, answering union grievances with unions such as the UAW, the IAM, the IBEW, the IUE, and of course, as I did those things, one of the most important things I had to always keep in mind was the words that I used. I had to consider how they would be interpreted in the contract clause, how they would be understood in a particular grievance answer, what impact they might have on shop operations, both now and in the future. Words, as you know, don't always mean the same thing to different people. And that over time the meanings can change, and it may surprise you, but the meaning, of course, can change in a relatively short period of time. And there was an older gentleman in one of my Sunday school classes who told me that when he went to high school, they never would call an attractive girl cute because that would mean that she was bow-legged. Moral of the story, be careful with the words that you use. Okay, back to the Apostle Peter and to what he has to say to us in 2 Peter chapter 1. He knew that what we remembered had a powerful impact on how we think, how we speak, and how we act. And as a result, he penned verses 12 through 15 in chapter 1 for us. Follow along as I read for you 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. So I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I have gone. In this passage, Peter indicates that it was his responsibility to always be reminding his readers of all aspects of the Christian life. I guess he knew how forgetful that they were, and that I am. I guess even more now than ever before. I think we are all forgetful and need to be constantly reminded of the truth contained in God's Word. Yes, we should look to the leaders and teachers of our churches to do this for us. But don't we then have a responsibility to then share those words, those wonderful truths, with those we interact with, on a daily basis? We all have a story relating to our salvation. And shouldn't we be sharing that with others? Your story doesn't have to be long and complicated. Let me give you an example of a young man's story that's short, easy to remember, easy to understand, yet, I think, very effective. Here's his story. I had been raised as an atheist and was training to be an Olympic diver. The only religious influence in my life came from an outspoken Christian friend. I never really paid much attention to my friend's sermons, but I heard them often. One night, I went to the indoor pool at the college I attended. The lights were off, but as the pool had big skylights and the moon was bright, there was plenty of light to practice. I climbed up on the highest diving board, and as I turned my back to the pool, on the edge of the board and extended my arms out, I saw my shadow on the wall. The shadow of my body was in the shape of a cross. I felt a strange feeling like somebody was speaking to me. Instead of diving, I knelt down and finally asked God to come into my life. As I stood, a maintenance man walked into the pool area and turned the lights on. And as I looked down, I saw that the pool had been drained for repairs. Take a few minutes. Put your story together. Share it with others. And as you do that, you're not only presenting the gospel, you are continually reminding yourself that the eternal Almighty God loved you so much that he came looking for you. It truly is amazing grace that saved each one of us. And are we sharing it with others? Let's consider for a few minutes some of the things that God did in Peter's life that he undoubtedly remembered vividly and was reminded of often. And I'm sure he shared often with others. And as he thought about his salvation, I'm sure he would remember that it was his brother Andrew that God used to introduce him to Jesus. Let's turn to John chapter 1, verses 40 and 42, and read about that situation. John 1, 40 to 42. Listen as I read these words. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. From what we are told in this passage, we see that it was Andrew who heard about John the Baptist, went out to hear his preach, was introduced to Christ by John, and became a believer. Since nothing is said about Peter up to this point, I think we can conclude that at this time in his life, Peter's primary focus was his fishing. But God is seeking Peter. He burdens Andrew's heart for his brother, and in response to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, Andrew brings Peter to Christ. And it is at that time that Peter accepts Christ as his Savior. Isn't God's work in salvation amazing? Shouldn't we remind ourselves of it often? Shouldn't we be sharing our story with others often? Not only did Peter remember his salvation, but he was also often remind himself how God called him into his service. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, in verses 18 to 29. And again, let me read that portion to you. Matthew chapter 4, and verses 18 through 20. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. The thing that strikes me about this passage is what Peter is doing. Fishing. He, like you and me, was involved in the everyday activities of life. You know, those Monday through Friday kinds of things that somehow keep us going from morning till night. Peter doesn't appear to be even thinking about God. And yet, would you notice his reaction to Jesus' call? Now, there is a revelation regarding the faith of Peter. See it there in verse 20? Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Think about it. Jesus says, "Follow me," and Peter leaves everything. Remember, this guy has a successful fishing business. What about his boat? What about his nets? What about his customers? What about his daily needs for food, shelter? What about his health insurance? His retirement portfolio, etc., etc., etc. He left it all and followed him. He left it all. As Peter reminds us of his call to service, he surely challenges us to remember that as believers in Christ, we are saved to serve. That we are to do more than serve when it is convenient to us or when it suits us. Our commitment is to be total, 24/7. 100% of the time. Not like the four people in the story. Let me give you their names. Everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done in the church, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it. But nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have. You know, I think many of us have started out our walk with Christ differently than those four people. Remember how it was when you first became a follower of Jesus? Your excitement, your enthusiasm, your commitment. Then something happened, and without realizing it, we suddenly found the Christian life to be very demanding, difficult, and just plain hard. You may be surprised to learn that the same thing happened to Peter. And in Matthew chapter 19, 27, Peter comes to Jesus. Matthew 19, 27. And this is what he says to him. "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us? Jesus' answer is one of the great promises of the Bible. To Peter, Jesus says in verse 28, there's coming a day when you will sit with me on my throne and rule and reign with me. What an amazing promise. And then in verse 29, he says to those of us who have left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. We need to remember that great promise often. And it will encourage us to stay in God's service or possibly get us back into it if we're not there now. We have remembered how Peter was saved and how God called him into service. Let's now look and remember something that happened to him while he was walking with and in the service of Jesus. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22 and verse 34 and listen to what Peter heard Jesus say to him. This, I believe, was possibly Peter's darkest memory. Follow along as I read Luke chapter 22 and verse 34. This is Jesus speaking in Luke 22:34, and he said, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied three times that you know me. Of course, we know that Jesus' prophetic words came true, and Peter did betray Jesus and deny him three times. Just as I am sure that Peter constantly thought about what he had done, I am equally certain that he had forgotten what Jesus had said to him before he made that devastating prophetic announcement. Maybe you have forgotten it also. Let me help you remember it, because it not only was important to Peter, it's also very important for each one of us. Look back to Luke 22, 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter, Jesus said to him, don't worry, I'm praying for you. Beloved, can you think of anyone you'd rather have praying for you than Jesus, the Son of God? Peter, regardless of how bad you are, how difficult the situation is, how painful it gets, and regardless of what you do, I will keep you. You are part of my family. And I will never let anything change that. Shortly after his discussion with Peter, Jesus entered into a time of prayer, which is recorded for us in John chapter 17. No need to look at that particular portion right now. But during that time, he prayed for himself. He prayed for the 11. And for all those who will ever believe in him. That's you and I, who have a relationship with him. In that prayer, he prayed for unity, protection from the evil one, and holiness. These verses assure us that Jesus will be watching over us regardless of what we do. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad it's Jesus' responsibility to guard me and keep me, not mine. I have all I can do with fulfilling my responsibility of doing the things he planned for me to do. Did you catch what I just said? I have a job to do. And Jesus has a job to do. If you ever have the idea that God saves us and we just do nothing, you don't understand biblical Christianity. My first responsibility in life is to understand and accept the fact that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Believe that Jesus is that perfect, sinless Son of God who paid the penalty for my sin by dying on the cross and accepting him as my personal Savior. Listen to me now. And the proof that I really am born again is my repentance. What is repentance? It means turning around or changing directions. So if I have really accepted Christ as my Savior, I turn around and change the direction I'm going. I speak, I think, I do things differently than I did before. And how long do I do things differently than I did before? Until I die. And all during this time, guess what Jesus is doing for me? Just what he did for Peter. He kept him, and he is keeping me, and he is keeping you if you are one of his. I faithfully do the work he has for me to do, and he faithfully guards me and keeps me safe and secure. Let's get back to Peter. I don't want you to think that Jesus just left him there, sad, discouraged, and as far as he was concerned, defeated. We know that Jesus was very concerned about him, so concerned, in fact, that according to Luke 24:34, he met with him on the very day of his resurrection. While the scriptures don't tell us about that meeting between the risen Christ and Peter, I can't help but think that meeting was very similar to that of the father and the prodigal son, found in Luke chapter 15, verses 17 through 23. You don't need to turn to that either, but just listen as I read it to you. And this, of course, is talking about the prodigal son, who says, "When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, 'At home, even the hired men have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up, came to his father, but while he was still a long ways away, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate.'" In verse 18, the son rehearses what he's going to say to his father. I can just see Peter doing the same thing. Can't you just hear Peter saying to Jesus, "I have sinned against you? I've let you down. I've failed. I'm not worthy. to be called one of yours. And can't you imagine Jesus doing just what the Son's Father did? He comes to Peter, just as he comes looking to save us, just as he comes looking to restore fellowship with us. No word of rebuke. Doesn't even let Peter finish his rehearsed speech. He embraces him. Tells him how much he's missed him. How glad he's back home. And then invites him to join the celebration. I think Peter reminded himself often of this meeting with Jesus. And I'm sure that every time he did, he better understood what Jesus meant when he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." So far this morning, Peter has been encouraging us to remember, first of all, our salvation, because he knew that it would encourage us as we remind ourselves of our story, how God came looking for us, found us, and that in turn saved us. And this in turn would challenge us to share our story with others. Secondly, I think he would remind us of our calling so that we would be encouraged to leave everything, follow him to do the work he's asking us to do, even if it looks impossible, like the author of this poem must have felt as he saw what God had waiting for him to do. "Lord, here I am again, down on my knees in prayer. Lord, you promised me that you would always meet me there. Now there's a mountain up ahead that I can't seem to climb, but I'm praying for that strength to try it one more time. Lord, don't move that mountain. Just give me strength to climb. Because if you move each mountain, I might grow weaker each time. And just as your son Jesus took that cross up Calvary's hill, Lord, don't move that mountain. So I might rather do your will. Lord, if there were no mountains, I might forget to pray. And if there were no trials, Lord, I might even stray. But I know the higher the mountain, the sweeter the victory. Lord, ever remind me that you walk beside me." He, like Peter, was trusting God to meet all his needs. And then thirdly, that God is keeping us in order that we might rest in him, completely confident that God has never lost even one of his own. Just enjoy the peace of God, which passes all human understanding. Finally, now in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, he's going to remind us of what God is going to do for us in the future. Follow along as I read in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." What do we need to remember? the inheritance that God has for us in the future. For me, looking forward to something has always been a source of encouragement. It's what sometimes gets me started, while at other times it gets me back into the work or just enables me to keep on doing what God has for me to do. You know, persevere. Stay the course. Finish strong. As I close this portion of the service this morning, I'm going to ask that you bow your heads and your hearts and listen as I read the words to this song called Think About His Love. Please bow. Think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. How can I forget His love? How can I forget His mercy? He satisfies my desires. Even when I've strayed away, His love has sought me out and found me. He satisfies my desires. Beloved, take a few minutes now to remember and thank God for what He has done for you. And finally, ask Him how He would have you serve Him in the coming days ahead. Heavenly Father, as we close this service this morning, we come to You, as we always do, thanking You for Your word. We thank You for the truth that it contains. And we thank You that we have been once again reminded of all that You have done for us. In ourselves, we know that we can do nothing. But we know that when we walk with You, there is no mountain that we cannot climb. We know that how difficult the task might be, You will be there with us, walking by our side. That You will give us that peace that only You can provide. We thank You for all that You have done for us. We look forward to what You are going to do with us in the days ahead. And we thank You for that which we will have one day with You in heaven, the reward that You will have to be able to hear You say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We truly are a blessed people. and we owe it all to you. And we thank you and praise you and pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.